This podcast episode number 21. We're live from the farm here from Living with the Spirit, Chiang Mai, Thailand, from our Abundant Transformation Retreat Center, where we help people to overcome any physical, emotional, spiritual blockages so they can invite more personal, emotional, and financial freedom in their life. So, Simba, who do we have on today?
Yeah, so today we have on Dr. David Berselli, the founder of TRE, and we're very happy to have you here. And we've been talking so much about TRE, so at some point I felt people are starting to get tired of us. So let's just invite in the founder and let him share, and people can get a new perspective and hopefully really see how wonderful this modality is that you have created. And we are so passionate about it. So we just, yeah, we thought it was a very good fit to invite you into the show and just have you share your story about what TRE is and how it came about. So why don't you introduce yourself and we take it from there, David.
All righty. Hello, everybody. I'm David Berselli, and I have had amazing experiences in life. And in some of those experiences, which were very traumatic, as many of us have had, I actually had experiences that forced me to go very deeply into my life. So I have a background in clinical counseling. I have a background in theology. I also have a background in body work. And I worked with nonprofit organizations that had a spiritual dimension to them. So when we're talking about body, mind, and spirit, all of us, I think, are pretty much aware that there's no such thing as a separation of those three. We're a living organism on planet Earth, and all of that sort of molds itself together. And I had some strange experiences in life and some unique ones that helped me both separate all of those things and then recombine them in a way that tried to help bring me to life. And then I tried to share that with other people on the planet of how our organism, by its very nature, continues to pulsate towards life no matter what it goes through.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah, that's very amazing. And so if you don't mind sharing, just like, what prompted you to create TRE, right? Like you said, it came from your own experience. What was it that really made you go like, wow, this is something that I could put together and that could help other people?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of interesting. And I want to start, and hopefully I'll end with the same thing. I don't want us to think that TRE is a technique or a method. It really is a genetic inheritance that we have as mammals, where we actually tremor or shake organically. And that tremoring and shaking serves a tremendous purpose for the human body. So that's what I want to start with. I'm not talking about a method or a technique. I'm talking about the nature of our humanness and how did I discover that at a different level. And what happened to me is I was living in the Middle East for many years, about 15 years. I lived in numerous countries, and several of those countries were experiencing war and political violence. And there were two experiences that I had there that all of us would identify with, but I was forced to see these experiences. So the first one was that when we were having maybe bombings or shootings or something like that, I would find my body constantly pulling forward into what we call the fetal position, and it would be protecting itself. But what fascinated me by this is that I never in my conscious brain ever told my body to do it, and my body was able to do it in a split second. And so I knew that something in my brain was connected to an entire pattern of muscle and fascia that could actually produce this type of response so quickly. But what I saw when I was in war is everybody did it. So it didn't matter what culture or language or religion, we were looking below all of that into the human organism. I watched the human organism trying to save itself. That fascinated me because I thought, how do we know to do this? We're born with it. And it can't be anything about the ego or consciousness because it was an instinct response. In clinical therapy, what that means is it's subcortical or below the cortex, which is where the primitive parts of the brain are and the instinct parts of the brain. That's where blood pressure and heart rate and breathing are all located, very primitive parts of the brain. Well, this movement towards a fetal response is quite primitive. Now, every one of you knows this because you've heard a loud sound and you ducked, even if it was playful and you were joking or you were at a party or something like that. We duck. But we all know that. But it wasn't until I was in war that I asked the question, how do we do that? Why do we do that? See, so that was the first observation I had, and I was very curious about it. The second observation was either before, during, or after a bombing, many of us would shake. We would shake out of fear. Now, everybody here knows this same experience too. If you're afraid and you're giving a lecture, maybe your voice will quiver or your jaw might quiver or shake a little bit. If you're holding a piece of paper and you're nervous, you might see the paper shaking because your hand is shaking. Or if you're standing up in front of a huge audience, you might find your legs are shaking. Now, all of us know that shaking. Even playfully, if you're getting on a roller coaster, you might get scared and you might start to shake. And certainly on the roller coaster, if it's frightening, or after you get off, and you all joke and laugh and say, oh my God, my body's shaking. This is wild. So we all know the shaking thing, but it wasn't until I was in war that once again, it happened in such a repetitive manner that it drew my attention of how does our body do this, number one, and secondly, how does it know when to start the shaking and when to stop the shaking? That fascinated me. So I ended up putting both of those two questions together, and I worked with a friend of mine who's a neurosurgeon, and we kind of figured out that the shaking happens automatically to the human body when there's a large increase of adrenaline in the body, and very quickly. So if you're in a car accident, as an example, even if it's a minor one, nobody's injured, you might be nervous and get out and try to get your driver's license out to show it to the police, but you find that your hand is shaking and you're nervous. And then when you go home, you either start to cry because that's another discharge of the body, or a little bit worse, but I've done it. Let me have a glass of wine. Let me calm down my nerves. See? But we did draw the relationship that there's something wrong with my nerves. They're overexcited and they need to calm down. But the tremor mechanism is itself calming down its own nervous system. So what I discovered is that our whole body, we're a living organism, okay? Don't say body and mind or something like that. It still splits us up. We're nothing more than a complicated amoeba, really. But we pulsate, okay? And so when our nervous system gets too high, by the very nature of that, we tremor because it does two things. It moves the structure, the physical structure of the body. It actually shakes it. And in that process, it's calming down the nervous system. How wonderful are we as a living organism that built right into us, genetically encoded, we know we will need this mechanism during life. And we have it available to us. So the nervous system actually, when it gets too elevated with adrenaline, it naturally begins to shake itself and calm back down. The shaking helps calm us back down again. Unfortunately, in our society, what has happened is we've made that shaking negative. When you shake, you're afraid, you're vulnerable, you're weak, you're insecure. If people heard my voice shaking just in this broadcast, they'd say, well, he's not too sure about what he's talking about, or he's kind of a nervous guy and he's telling us we should relax. And you wouldn't trust it, see? And so we have to rewrite the narrative that body tremors are one of the most useful mechanisms built into the human organism to help sustain a flow throughout life, throughout even just the regular day, where we might get elevated and we can calm down, and we get elevated and we can calm down. And so that's how what I call TRE started. It was trying to introduce people that this mechanism is genetically encoded in you. And for goodness sakes, you should be curious enough to figure out why it's in you. See, so when we say we're going to teach you TRE, what we're really doing is trying to invite you into exploring your own body and using that tremor mechanism in your body to see what advantage it has for you. If you don't like it, you can stop it. That's fine. But you should explore it just as you're exploring a healthy diet and a healthy lifestyle and a healthy spirituality through meditation. Why not explore a healthy nervous system? See, and that I think is invaluable contribution for what your programs are teaching people. And that's about how do you live as a pulsating, alive organism in the healthiest way possible. And I believe this tremor mechanism in the human body is a huge contribution to that process.
Yeah, I think this is absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much. It really aligns with what we do. Because I really love that you said, don't separate it as a mind, body, spirit thing. We're one unit and that's it. There is no separation. And, and exploring the nervous system is the same as a healthy diet or anything else. I mean, that's why we as we go along, so me and Simba, we're just diving into, we're trying to learn how everything is working together. And we realize everything we do is coming back to the nervous system. It's like the base, the core. It's like, it's so beautiful. And the TRE is like the gateway into that. So that's the base of what we do. And that, so you can come alive from the inside. It's like lighting up a tree.
That's beautiful. I love that explanation. It is a gateway. Some people in the computer industry call it hacking the nervous system.
Yes.
We can actually access the nervous system. And what's a little bit of a confusion for us is we've gone up into our head with psychology and we think we're accessing the nervous system from the cortex down. And I'm saying, no, you can access that nervous system in a very raw, natural human way from the body up. Because the problem with us is, first of all, it's very hard to activate a tremor mechanism by thinking about it. The human organism does it simply, as you both know. But secondly, and we know this too, is that once the human organism activates the tremor mechanism, it almost has a mind of its own.
Yes.
It travels through the structure of the body to places that we don't even know we have tension anymore.
Yes.
For reasons that we don't even know why we have tension there anymore.
Yeah.
And it's uninhibited. Its whole goal is just to release. It knows that the tension patterns still stuck in us are actually killing the organism,
yes,
reducing its state of health. And so it doesn't care that this was from 3 years old when I was, you know, abused by somebody. That tremor mechanism pushes through there and says, we don't need it anymore. It's still killing us after 30 years later. If we want to pulsate towards aliveness, we got to go through this one. And so it uninhibitedly just moves itself towards aliveness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's amazing. I feel it's such an incredible, I mean, I don't even want to call it tool, but mechanism that you can access. And so for me, I can go in, I can feel that. So I come to a point where I can feel that I have attention. I can feel it.
Yes.
And I can read my own signs that the body is trying to do something. Mm-hmm. And I can just go in there and then my body starts to tremor and I can access with my intention and with my awareness, I can go in. And I just last night I could access shame that I had, and then I had like 10 minutes of some sort of release. I used my breath, the body was doing the work itself, and I was like this, and I was like, wow, there went a couple of years of shame.
Yes, that's bye-bye. Exactly true. I love that because it's true. We're carrying stuff from even some people from the womb, honestly, because I've seen that coming out with this tremor mechanism. So we're carrying things we don't remember, we don't know, et cetera. But as we release, little by little by little, it's almost like it's going down layers and layers and layers
Yep.
And it's finding things deep inside that we would never get to cognitively.
No.
Because we don't even know they're there.
Yeah.
And cognitively, the ego still says, I'm not going to tell you, but I'm not exploring that place because that frightens me too much. Mm-hmm. See, and so the ego would never allow that to happen, whereas the body goes, oh, we got to get rid of this. I want to bubble towards aliveness.
Yeah.
So the body has a completely different sort of process or desire in life. The ego's desire is to protect you. The body's desire is to bring you to life.
Yeah.
So it's kind of comical how they play back and forth like that. Eventually, the ego loses because the body will always win because eventually it teases the ego into, wow, this was pleasant. I like this. I feel better because of this. And so then the ego slowly starts to let go and gives the body permission to go places that it wouldn't do otherwise.
Yeah. I also feel that it has a lot to do with like expression, because as I go deep into like my feminine energy, I feel like that is coming alive. I come from the corporate world, and I come from previously also like a more tough, more like gangster lifestyle in my younger age. So I was super tough. I was black and like tattoos and like, and I feel like I'm also coming alive with a softness as I'm starting to feel more safe. I feel like the body is opening up. I have more space. And my trick is to go where the pain is. I go to where the pain and the stiffness is in the body. And then I know that there's something there. And then, as you say, the layers, it's like, it's just opening up. Something it's like a jewel inside that is just starting to glow and come alive. And with that comes the life force, like letting go of fear blockages, belief systems, what I think is possible for myself, for others. It's just expansion, 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 expansion. It's just so cool.
I think it's very interesting. Your words are beautiful. When we think of the human body, we should think of ourselves as a pulsating organism. That's all we do. Yes. We pulsate. But when there's fear, that pulsation restricts. See, and so we have all these restricted pulsation patterns all over our body. And then that tremor mechanism goes in there. And all it does is open it up, like you said, from the inside out, which is very different than me giving a massage therapy to somebody or a massage to somebody. It opens from the inside out. And all you can feel is it's restoring pulsation.
Mm.
And then you feel so much better. And you say, I didn't even know I was tight there.
Mm.
And I love the fact that you brought up the feminine, because we males and females both need to balance each other out in terms of masculine and feminine energies. However, what I saw with women, and I see this a lot, think of this, even if a woman hasn't been abused, in many of our cultures around the world, there's a lot of sexual shame, inhibition, and fear. The way men are trained to stare at a woman's body, as an example, in a lustful manner. They may have never touched you, but that still has an effect on how you hold your structure in a protective pattern, even though you're unaware of it. The other thing that I found too, go ahead, you were gonna say.
No. Yeah.
Okay, one more thing, and then you talk about women, because I like this subject. Yeah. The other thing was, I can't believe this, how many women, when they're tremoring and the tremor gets stuck in the tops of their legs or in their pelvis, my first question is, did you birth a child? And did you have difficulty birthing the child? 100% of the time, it's yes. Did you have a C-section? Yes. Did you have a hysterectomy? Yes. Every one of those interventions in this pulsating human organism somehow contracts that structure, particularly in the pelvis and the lower back, and it needs to be restored to pulsation again.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I've seen this a million times with women, and it's like, we've got to get this to the female organism, because it goes through things that the male organism doesn't go through. And it needs to be restored. And I think that's where I think it also helps to restore the femininity, the softness, the being in touch with yourself as woman comes from the womb, from the pelvis. just as much as for men being in touch with their pelvis and their genitals helps them become man. Being in touch with it in a healthy way and not in a way that causes so much constriction that we're completely cut off from our sexual identity. We're not grounded in it. And then that makes us act out in a manner that is not healthy in terms of sexuality,
yeah,
or femininity or masculinity.
Yeah. This is very, very interesting because it's exactly what I'm working with for myself at the moment, or a couple of months back when I realized that my connection to the womb was not there. So I started to work with a woman to connect with the womb. And I mean, I've been doing a lot of work. So as soon as I found that connection, it's just boom, exploded. And yeah, I used the TRE to really, really start to open up those channels. And it's interesting how you mention the sexual environment in society for women. And I can feel that it's just coming off. It's just layers and layers and layers of protective shields that I didn't even know that I had that came from that came from the pelvis. And the hips are tight, the pelvis is tight, the lower back is tight, my kidneys have been struggling, UTIs, all kinds of things like that. And just to feel how that opens up, and it's almost like it goes as in a channel up to the heart and up to the voice and how I express myself and starting to move and dance and really embracing. And what I see is that the dance and the movement is just designed for those areas that are stiff, that are tight, and that are blocked. And it also goes along the spine. And then when I allow the TRE to come, to the tremors to come forward, they go in a line like that.
Well, you're kind of identifying the chakra or kundalini movement. I have to go back to the beginning. We cannot separate. We are an energy field. We are not matter. We are an energy field. And so the tremor mechanism is this amazing interplay between energy and matter.
This is
the one place that we can feel inside of ourselves, I am both of those.
Yes.
And that's an amazing sensation that so many human organisms don't get. We either meditate ourselves into a dissociative state and lose connection with the body, or in our body and lose connection with our spirituality or our expanded consciousness. But the tremor mechanism, I think, honestly, its true purpose is to help kundalini, chakras, meridian lines to continue to pulsate their energetic fields throughout this matter or this material form.
Yeah,
I think that's what it's for. And not only does it do that to me as an individual, every time I do it, I believe it's doing it to the collective human species on the planet. So when I'm tremoring for all of us, not just me.
I love that. I love that. And let's dive into this, why this is actually true, because it's nervous system to nervous system, right? If I'm grounded, so the nervous system works like a sonar. Like I walk into a room and my nervous system, even though I'm not aware of it, it scans the room to see if this is a safe environment. Where do I feel safe? I avoid that person. I go to this person, I can, if you're grounded, I will become grounded. If you're ungrounded, I will become ungrounded. So
that's absolutely true. In my trainings, I used to play with this all the time. I would have trainees with me while I'm teaching a group of people TRE. So I'd grab a trainee by the hand and I'd look at all the people in the room and I said, which one of those people don't you trust? Which one do you think you're afraid of? And they would point them out. They'd be so excited. I'd say, all right, well, let's go over to them. Those are the very people. Because see, if I'm grounded, it doesn't bother me. You know, they could be angry people or frightening people, whatever, but I don't care. And the And these trainees would be so scared. And all I would do is go over and make the connection. Even if they couldn't return the connection, didn't bother me. It was important that I made the connection.
Yeah.
That would then eventually change them. I believe that as a species, I can walk into a room actually when I'm doing TRE, and after a certain amount of time, it's not different organisms all tremoring. It's one organism that's pulsating, even though there are 30 people in the room.
Yeah.
You both shake your heads, yes. I bet you've both seen this or felt it. And sometimes you can almost observe that this organism of 30 people has become one.
Yeah.
And that's what this tremor mechanism is designed to do. I think we've really missed it. This is invaluable for our species to become united as a species. And it's a seems to be a big secret on the planet.
Yeah,
I love
this. Amazing. It's really amazing. And yeah, definitely what you say, you know, the group dynamics I've seen when I teach a lot of times, like people that don't know each other, they come into a room and practice theory for the first time. This person starts to tremor in a way. This person starts to mimic this person's movements, and they're not even seeing each other. And then just travels around exactly. the group, and I go like, what yeah. is going on here?
That's so funny. I see that all the time. Somebody starts to tremor, and then three persons away, their tremor is mimicking that one. So told me there's connection. But even sometimes I'd be working on somebody, and just as I would release their neck, the person next to me, their neck would release.
Yeah.
So I knew that there was communication going on at a much more refined level than just human bodies vibrating. It goes way beyond that, because I believe that the tremor mechanism ultimately is a connection to an energetic field. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And so when we activate it, no different than meditating together in a room, we're activating something collectively, even though we might be doing it individually. We're accessing a very primitive connection of our species around the planet, and we're hacking into it, and then we're enlivening it. We're we're generating it stronger, and then we actually benefit collectively from that experience.
Yeah. And that's what I found so beautiful with the TRE provider program, that it's, I mean, of course, it's about learning the exercises and getting the tremor starting. But for me, that was just something that I learned. And I already knew how to do that from doing it with other providers and stuff like that. What I found was the main thing was I need to know my own nervous system. Because yes. if I'm holding space for someone else and I don't know my nervous system, I haven't worked through my own nervous system. And if they are talking to each other, how am I going to help someone if my nervous system says to the other person's nervous system, I'm not safe,
right.
I'm not grounded. And as Simba said, like, how are you going to guide someone out of the blue zone if you're in the blue zone?
Right.
That's not going to happen. So, and that's what I think is so, so, so beautiful with the program, that it's about you as a person. So for me, it was, I mean, I saw Simba do it and his magical transformation. And then I was like, I want that. So,
yeah.
So then I did it for myself. So it's like a gift to yourself first and foremost. And then
exactly
it's a gift to the world just by existing. I say, like, becoming the provider and teaching others, that's like the last priority. Yeah. It's like, first you give it to yourself, then you become a better parent, a better leader, a better, you know, whatever, a coworker,
right.
friend, husband. And then you also have this magical tool that you can combine with everything else that you're doing. And it's just seamlessly, yeah, like, hacking the nervous system. And then if you have any other tool in your toolbox, then that will just be enhanced. So it's like,
yeah,
it's like the Trojan horse into life.
That's beautiful. Oh, I'm going to use that one. It is a Trojan horse, because people don't see it, but you're right. It enhances anything else you're doing, not because it's a method.
No.
It is your nature.
Yes.
And so you add your nature to whatever else you're doing,
yes,
and it enhances it.
Yes.
And that's basically all that it does. it enhances our humanness in whatever way we want to direct that.
Yes. Wow, I get so excited.
So do I, actually.
Yeah, it's so amazing, this modality. And I really think, like, now with the new community you started putting together to get more men into TRE, there are, of course, men in TRE, right? But from what I've seen anyways, I might be biased because I'm not all over the world traveling like you, but it seems like there's still a large number of women doing it, more women than men. And the men are starting to come in, but even the men that are practicing, I can see there's still some trepidation, or like, it's still a tendation, even in myself, you know, not just looking at others, like a first response to like, what is that? Go to the head before really connecting to the body. So that's something I really find enjoyable too now, to really get men into the body. And they're like, I don't understand why my body, why is this, what's going on? And see this whole interplay.
It's so funny. Yeah, that's exactly right. Their body starts to move and immediately they say, I don't understand. So immediately, like, the ego's up there. Oh, what are you doing to me? Stop it. I don't like this. I'm out of control. And I have to laugh at that. You're right. There are more women in the healing professions in general around the world than men are. And if men are in it, unfortunately, many of them are on the top and they're directing and controlling things rather than exploring their own human body. That's maybe a bias of mine. But my point is that we do have to get men into their body. If we're going to affirm femininity, men have to ground in their masculinity. There's no way that those two can meet if there's one group that's ungrounded from the other group. It's not going to work, see? And the more a man is able to be in touch with himself, the more he can affirm femininity without getting lost in his identity of, oh, I should be a softer man. I should be a feminine man. No, you could be a strong, powerful man. Use your maleness and your masculinity, but make sure it's grounded to the degree that the woman is grounded in her femininity. That's when we would have true balance on the planet. Right now, we still have this fight going on between what's masculine and what's feminine, and how do you affirm it? And the whole thing is just go into yourself. It's already there. You are masculine. You are feminine. You are both dimensions. If you ground in them, you're not confused about identity, and you're not confused about when to assert one and when to assert the other. Women have to assert what we call a masculine energy. Men have to assert what we call a feminine energy, and we have to know when to not assert those. See, so we're really looking for balance. And like you were saying, it's all about our nervous system. If I'm really connected to me, my nervous system is not threatened by you as a woman or by you as a man. It's in dialogue, so that when I talk to a woman, my nervous system might adjust me to talk in a way that's feminine. Or if I'm talking to a strong woman who's in the military, which I do a lot, I can use a masculine energy to speak to her because she identifies with that dimension of herself because she's in the military. Yeah. Not to say she's not feminine. No. She also has an assertive masculine identity. I can do the same thing with men, particularly if I'm going into like a yoga studio or someplace where I know the men are trying to be in touch with a more gentle nature of themselves. I can soften down and assert myself in a more gentle manner with those men without losing my masculinity and without asking them to somehow sacrifice their masculinity. So I think that we still, after all these years, we don't know how to live in our bodies as a human organism.
Yeah.
I don't know how we're ever going to get off this planet. We just don't know how to be human. And I think it's built into our very nature to be fully human and fully alive. And we still think we have to keep exploring how to do it.
Yeah.
We have to go inside. It's already in there. It knows how to live itself.
Mm. Yeah, and that's why people come to our place to kind of, yeah, to find a space where it's just nature. There's no interference. Yeah. It's just no just to detoxify, you know, everything and come back to the root cause of what's actually going on here, and to help them to navigate back to this place in the self where the truth is, and everyone has their own truth. I mean, that's like Living with the Spirit, our company, that it's about finding your own connection to your spirit and the larger spirit, whatever that is for you. You know, it could be your intention, it could be God, it could be universe, whatever it is for you, and then fly off from there wherever you're supposed to go.
Yeah. And one of the ways I played with doing this, because I'm always playing around, I love this.
Yeah.
Once we have the human mechanism in there, that tremor mechanism, we can enjoy exploring how to use it in its most beneficial ways. But oftentimes I would have one person sit and watch another person tremor. Mm. Because the visual of that informs me of my own self.
Yeah.
And then I would have them switch roles. The one who just tremored, I'd have him or her watch the other person tremor. Mm. And then all of a sudden they're both down at the level of human organism. Mm. And they're establishing a relationship that's completely different than from in their brains with one another. Mm-hmm. And I found that playing back and forth like that, getting two women to watch each other, getting two men to watch each other, then a man and a woman to watch each other, all of that can be played with, because all of that is what we need to grow in and be more comfortable in. And watching a human body move the way you've all seen it happen, that's a fascination.
Yeah.
It's curious sometimes. It's frightening sometimes. It's laughable sometimes. There's a whole realm of humanity that's revealed to us just by watching somebody tremor and being in connection to that tremoring. It's quite beautiful. That's where I think we can play with this tremor mechanism, not just within ourselves, but in a sense sharing it with each other. Here's what my organism does, here's what your organism does, let's talk about that. And I use that a lot with couples, because I have the husband and wife, or the partners, male, female, whatever. I'll have them watch each other tremor so that they have a whole new realm of relationship and dialogue.
Yeah.
And I even help them learn how to make interventions on each other. Mm-hmm. Now they're exploring their relationship as partners or spouses in a whole new way they've never known before. So it adds another element into the relationship.
Sign me up. I love to do that.
Yeah, it's fun. It's really fun, actually.
That's very interesting. So the biggest gift a couple could do to each other is to do the TRE provider training together.
I think it's a huge gift. If they don't even have to do the training together, but if you just have them tremoring in the same room, do a workshop just for couples.
Yeah.
Have all the men watch their wives or whatever tremor, the wives watch their husband, or if you're doing gay and lesbian couples, just have them, each partner, watch the other one tremor. Mm. Then just have them sit up and talk about it. What did you see? What did it feel like? Mm. Did it make you afraid? Mm. All that sort of stuff. Did it feel fun, exciting?
Very interesting.
Play with this in many ways.
Yeah.
I feel like a Christmas tree with ideas now. Just
things up. Yeah.
So one thing that I also find interesting when I explore my own tremors and my own system, my own body, is that the tremors are also so much more than just tremors. It's so many other bodily sensations. And I can feel like So I've had a lot of thyroid issues. So my temperature is like up and down, and I feel like this pulsating heat that comes. And I feel like when I go into it very deep, I can feel like it's connected to anger, and that it's connected to other sort of emotions. And can we talk a little bit? What's your perspective on that?
Okay, just so let's go back to the basics. A human organism tremoring. Mm. All it's trying to do is free itself from any limitations that we have imposed on it or have been imposed on us. So that's fear, anger, hatred, rage, whatever. All those things, they're imposed. And every time they're imposed, the organism constricts a little bit. And it might constrict just in certain areas of the body. But all of those constrictions collectively will cause things like thyroid problems or kidney problems or gastrointestinal problems. We can't help, but when we squeeze this organism, it's going to suffer.
Yeah.
What happens is it will manifest itself in a way that we think, oh, well, that's the problem, where something else could really be the problem, but it only manifested in the weakest part of the body, which is the kidney or something like that. Okay. And so the tremor mechanism doesn't care about any of it. It just cares about getting away any restriction that it has in itself. So it can, remember, once it restores this pulsation and it's reducing stress, it's reducing tightness in the tissue, which is reducing the stress level, the immune system automatically rises. You reduce stress, you increase immune function.
Yeah.
See? So it's not trying to increase immune function. It's trying to take away that which is inhibiting the increase of the immune function. Yeah. And that's why you get all these different changes. And I've worked with thousands of people all over the world, and they have millions of different changes going on in their body. Well, does it do this and does it do that? No, it only does one thing. It reduces stress and tension, which increases the immune function. But in that process, it's going to affect all those different parts of all these different bodies that we work with in different ways. Yep. So it's really not doing anything to any of those. It's doing one thing all the time, but it would then manifest itself in different ways in every human being.
Yeah. So when I work with people, I feel it's very important to, and this really helps with that, to make people understand that it's a process of coming back to life. And coming back to life also means start feeling things. And when we start to heal, it's like a machine coming back to life, like tick, 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 tick.
Yeah.
And it start, things start to move. And then I have old pains that comes back to life. Like, I healed this years ago, you know?
Yes, and people say, no,
I don't want to continue to do this because now I got this thing back. Yeah. And like, no, it's not coming back. It's actually healing. It's like moving.
Yes.
It's pulsating.
It never did heal. That's exactly right. It never healed. I get a lot of people with sports injuries. Mm. Well, that was from a ski accident 12 years ago. Why is the pain coming back? Because all you did was cover it up with a strong defensive muscle pattern, but you never healed what was underneath. And now that that defensive pattern is released, the body gets a chance to now heal. Mm. And it feels the pain, which is the initial part of it saying, I got to let this go. I got to restore it. See, and that's the problem, is that the minute people get an injury from years ago, they think, oh, this has resurfaced the injury. That's an impossibility, because if they healed it, the tremor mechanism would find nothing.
Yeah.
See? The fact that it's there tells us it didn't heal.
Yeah.
And the tremor mechanism is showing you that didn't heal. I still have it.
Yeah.
See, and so we have to help. We have to re-educate people, honestly. And it's hard, because you're right. We don't want to feel. I don't want to feel pain. I don't want to feel the hurt. I don't want to feel the anger. I don't want to feel. Well, you might as well just say, I don't want to come alive.
Yeah.
So stop trying. If that's your decision, then just go sit out in nature. Well, don't sit out in nature, because you'll come alive. So you're stuck one way or the other, really.
I mean, that's what I find beautiful also. Like, it's a choice, you know?
Yeah.
It's a choice to come alive. And I mean, that's what we say when we teach people. Everything we say is suggestions. You take whatever you feel is good for you at the moment.
Right.
Do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, for all of us, coming alive has to be done little by little in stages. We can't do it all at once. I can't take somebody who's had 12 years of sexual abuse or something like that and then open the pelvis immediately. I mean, the amount of terror and rawness in that would not be kind to the person. But if you can think of, all right, just if you could just pulsate a little bit more, if you could feel the terror just for a second and then go ahead and contract back up again, that's okay.
Hmm.
And then maybe next week you'll feel the terror a little bit more. Hmm. And then you contract up so that they can work with that pulsation and slowly come towards aliveness. is a far better way, because I think it's more respectful of the psycho-emotional and sort of physical as well as spiritual aspects of coming back alive after we've had years of fear and defensiveness. We don't have a right to punch somebody and force them back into life. It'll never work. The organism will just contract back up again.
Yeah.
So you're right. Inviting people, offering suggestions, you're really speaking, in a sense, the language of an ego, but the human organism is also receiving, like, okay, I'll just pulsate a little bit today. I won't go so deeply.
I also experienced that the body, there is, I mean, for some people, for myself, when I started to realize this a couple of years back, then my body's just like, okay, we're going for this. I'm coming alive. I'm doing it fast. I have a mission. I don't care if you suffer. We're doing this. Hold on to your hat. It's a train. It's a ride. We're going on it. And I'm like, okay, you know.
That's the Marine attitude. I work with lots of Marines and lots of Navy SEALs. If you don't punch them into aliveness, they don't believe that you can do anything to them.
Yeah. So
when they come to me, it's like I'm their last resort. They say, prove to me that you can make me come alive. But when you do prove it, it's like, I'm going for this thing. And they do the same thing. They open up, but also they're ready. They made that choice.
Yeah.
And so the organism is saying, all right, if you're all set, I'm all set. We're doing this.
Yeah.
And it moves like that. So that's a perfect example of some people have to move more slowly because they're not yet committed. They're still afraid. And other people say, nope, I'm done with everything. I am moving. Yeah. I am getting out of this. I'm breaking free and I'm doing it now. Yeah. A lot of the people who come to your place are doing it for that purpose. How many years they've been holding into their lives saying, this is it, I'm done. I want to come alive. I'm coming to you. Give me everything you got because I've got to open up.
Yeah.
And I want to come alive.
Yes.
And so you see those different expressions of people towards aliveness.
Yes. And then when we work with other people who go a little bit slower, and I feel like that's also, I mean, super beautiful. It's not, it doesn't matter what pace it is. And I feel like it's the nervous system that guides the way, because if the nervous system doesn't feel safe enough to ground, then the process is not going as fast.
That's so, exactly right.
I mean, what we have to do here is to, so we have a setup, but everything is individual also, because it is the follow the organism. The organism will set the pace. And sometimes the ego wants to go fast, but the body is saying no.
Wow.
So I feel like it is the body that says, because I felt I wanted to slow down the process at some points, but the body was just like, no, we're doing this.
That's great insight. You're absolutely right on target. I can't say anything more about it. Mm-hmm. It's like, and the two of you are grounded enough. And here's the whole point. Your nervous systems are regulated enough that you can, and they can feel it, you can let them explode if they need to, and their body is ready and you can handle it.
Mm.
Or you could tiptoe gently.
Yeah.
And then they open actually faster because they're sensing there's safety. There's deeper safety than I've ever had before. And they actually can begin to, in a sense, blossom much more easily because the safety has been established.
Yeah. And that's what a lot of people say. Like, they come here and say, wow, I understand now what it means to feel safe. It's the first time ever that I feel safe and with other people, and that I am received with kindness and no, like, pushing. Or I usually say there's nothing you have to do now. It's like, but then sometimes when they get out of this environment, the nervous system starts to become contracted again because they go out to another environment.
Sure. Well, it's really sad what you say, but it's the truth of this planet, unfortunately. People can come to you as an adult and say, this is the first time I ever felt safe. Mm. How sad. We should cry that our human species is living like that on the planet, that we have people in their 30s and 40s and never felt safe. And I believe that's true. But you're right. And this is true also. We help them open up and pulsate and get in touch with themselves. But when they leave, they are going to have to contract up a little bit because they're living in an environment, again, that's not safe. It's really hard. because they'd have to do a lot of work. But I did this too. I went back and forth in and out of war many times. So I would pulsate and come alive, and I'd go back into war, and I'd have to contract again.
Yeah.
But even in that process, I learned, okay, I can do that. Yes. I can contract if I need to, because I don't know when I might need that tomorrow. And my body can do it. Yeah. And I want it to be able to do that. And I also know my body can come out of it. Yeah. I don't know how long it will take and what I have to do, but I know it will come out of it because it's designed to. See, so we are designed to contract back up if we need to. And that's a good thing for us. I don't want to ever tell people give that away.
No, I mean, I also love that in the training, they talk about the body is functioning exactly how it's supposed to. You know, this is it has protected you. We do have, well, it's like you might find yourself in a situation that is very terrifying or feels like you will never get out of it, but the body has protected you and there is a way out. And I try to tell that to people that that there's an amount of tension. It's not unlimited. It's not infinite. There's only a certain amount of tension. So if you keep going, it will release.
Yeah.
So there is, it's just, there is, it's not, yeah.
Yes.
It's like you have a bucket of shit. You just need to.
Exactly right.
It will eventually be empty.
It will run out.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's so funny. Right now I'm working with both Ukrainians and Russians because I've lived in enough war. Nobody's a winner. Everybody's a victim of war.
Yeah.
So I'm working with Russians and with Ukrainians. And it's fascinating. If you didn't know what nationality they were and you were just looking at the human body, you would see exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
You'd see the human organism had to contract for whatever reasons of war, whether you're the aggressor or the victim, doesn't matter. It's still a contraction and it's still unpleasant. And then they pulsate back towards aliveness.
Yes.
And I used to do this with Palestinians and Israelis too. Mm. I'd have a Palestinian watch the Israeli tremor. Then I'd have the Israeli watch the Palestinian tremor. And all of a sudden, nobody was Israeli or Palestinian. We were all pulsating organisms and human bodies trying to come back to life. So it really sort of neutralizes everything when you're seeing a human body struggling to come back to life.
Mm.
And the language, too, I find is very different. Like, I've noticed it when I teach sessions, but I saw it first from your YouTube videos, when you just might offer a suggestion and the mind hasn't caught up with what you're saying, but the body's already responding. The body's already, like, maybe you can relax your legs, and then the leg starts to shake already, right? So there's really this consciousness, I would say, of its own, that the body really has its own personalities, its own quirks, its own, like you talked about, like maybe agenda or purpose. And it's really fun to see that when you start to mention it and address it, you just give it like, it's okay for your body to do this. And they're like, I know. It's like, I'm not talking to you, mind. I'm talking to the body. And the body just starts to have this big response. And it cracks me up every time just to see that communication.
I know. Isn't that funny? We're working with something kind of serious, but it's absolutely playful and loving and fun and funny at times. We can be serious and gentle and all that sort of stuff, but the human body just keeps pulsating through anything, actually. And it's a pleasure to engage with the body rather than the ego of the person. So many times I will say to them, all right, your body's going. I could sit and have a cup of tea. I don't need your ego. I don't need to talk to you. Your body's doing everything right now. I'm just going to sit here and watch because your body's doing it all right now. And so I tell people, I used to tell this to military all the time, go home, lay on the floor in tremor and watch TV because that'll keep your ego entertained with something else and give your body complete permission to do what it needs to do to come alive. And it worked for them if we distracted their ego. And so you're right. When we're watching the body or even talking to the body, it's a completely different form of communication than talking to a person's ego.
That's beautiful. I feel like if you can go in tune, so we can tie back to the fact that when people leave here and they go out, they can use the connection to the body to allow the body to communicate. This is not healthy for me. This is not good for me. We need to change this. We need to change that. But the mind comes in and says, oh, it should be in this. I should be able to function like this. I should be able to do this. It should work like this and this. But the connection there and allow the body to tell you, I need to change this. I need to change that. We need to get another job. We need to. It's like.
Exactly. And there is a real complication, but we've created it in our social society.
Yeah.
When we were more earth-based people, as an example, we lived more in function with the living organism and with the earth. Yeah. And we've become so divorced and separated that we actually don't know the organism in which we're living. And then this is where we make that split. We actually drive the organism to its death many times. Whether that's the emotional death or physical death or spiritual death, we drive it to its death because we no longer can feel its impulses. I'm convinced that suicidal ideation only comes when the person is not receiving an impulse from the body or strong enough impulse, because the body is only impulsing all the time, 24 hours a day. I want to live. I want to live. I want to live. It's excited about that. So it pulsates that message to us all the time. When this body is so tight and it's so defended and it restricts that pulsation, only then could an ego have a thought of, I don't want to live. Because other than that, 90% of that organism is pulsating to the brain, I want to live.
And that's why I feel like we call it like symptoms, like pain, depression, sadness, anger, all the different things that people have going on. I just call it symptoms that the body is not in balance. Perfect. That it's the pulsating is not strong enough. It's just the body is just telling me, like, I need to change something. I need to come to life again. I need to balance things. And that will come insight. And then the communication and the intuition, the connection with the body will let you know, okay, I need to do these changes in my life.
Yes, I agree. I think you're absolutely right on that. And all we can do is encourage people. That's why I say this tremor mechanism that you're evoking in people, help them understand it's guiding them towards life, back towards the fullest pulsation that their human organism can generate. And that's nothing but pleasure and fun and excitement.
All right. Maybe that was right on the money. 1 hour. I mean, this has been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, amazing. I felt like I was in a lecture. I was like, oh, I have to ask something. I was just sitting back enjoying.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. You let me go on and on and on. And so I feel like I can sleep tonight. I've discharged everything.
I even felt at some points in the talk, like my body was actually starting to tremor. I was like, okay, this is interesting. You're just talking about it. Body's like, yay.
I absolutely believe that the body understands what we're saying. It gets this language because we're speaking its language, in a sense, of pulsation and vibration. And that is the nature of a living organism. So I think even verbalizing it, like you said, you can talk to one client and the person next to them, their body picks up what you're saying and actually has the result. So yes, we're all vibrating together today.
Thank you so, 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 so much.
Yeah, this has been an absolute pleasure, really. Yeah.
Thank you. I enjoyed it very much. Nice to see both of you. Thank you for the invitation.
Okay, so if anyone is interested to coming into our place or knowing more about us, just go to livingwiththespirit.com. David, do you want people to get in touch with you, or do you want to be off grid?
No, don't get in touch with me.
Don't get in touch. But
I do want them, if they're curious about our discussion, go to my YouTube channel, which is David Berselli, or my Instagram channel, which is David Berselli, and you will see these people tremoring in so many different ways around the world.
Yeah.
And it will help your body begin to resonate with, oh, maybe I could pulsate like that. Maybe I need to pulsate like that. So I think the visual is much better than just hearing the dialogue.
Yeah. Great. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Have a great evening. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a nice day, both of you.